Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we doing today? Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we doing today? All right, so everybody, just do what I do. Take a deep breath in. Now let it out. One more time, take a deep breath in. Now let it out. Now turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad to be in this service. Turn to the other side and say, God gave me breath, so I'm gonna praise Him. You see, the Bible says that better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. So if we can praise on Friday, right, when we see that check deposit, we can be like, oh my goodness, there's that paycheck. But the best part about it is, I want to get to heaven one day. That's my paycheck. That's what I'm doing it for. And I want to see every last person in here in heaven praising just as you do today. So can we do that? I got four people that says they're going to do that with me. Can we do that? Come on and say, I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him. Come on and sing that again. I feel like praising. I feel like praising Him. Yeah. I feel like praising Him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him. Say, I feel like clapping my hands.
I feel like clapping my hands.
I feel like clapping my hands.
Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like clapping my hands.
In my personal favorite, I feel like doing my dance.
I feel like doing my dance.
Y'all singing that like I feel like doing.
I feel like doing.
So do your dance. Come on.
Oh, the Lord has been so good.
All right, cool. Cool.
I feel like doing my dance.
Come on and sing. Praise Him. Say.
Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him.
Yeah.
Feel like praising Him. Whoa, the Lord is. feel like praising him. I feel like praising him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising him.
Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, I feel like. Come on. You got a testimony in here? If you have a testimony, go ahead and turn to your neighbor and let them know what happened. Because my testimony is that I woke up this morning. My testimony is that my legs work, my voice work, my head don't hurt. I'm able to see. It doesn't matter what tries to come against. I got a testimony. Right? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. How many of us know that God is able? He is able to do all things, right? Yes.
God is able to do just what he said he would do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you.
Okay, now. We're getting ready to sing this song, and it can be a song to you or it can be the truth to you. This is not a weak song, this is a powerful song. Some of you are in situations and you're having problems in your life. This is truth, and you need to sing it as truth, not as a song just because you're singing. Amen? Because this needs to be applied to our lives. How many believe the Bible's true? Part of it or all of it? All of it. Let's declare the word of the Lord.
Just what he said he would do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you.
He's able.
He's gonna fulfill every
We want to move you with our praise, God. We want to move you with our faith, God. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you.
Still in your hands.
Praise to God. Come on, 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 come on. If you actually want to feel a move, you have to open yourself up to it. Come on, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God, for who you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for all that you've done in our lives, Lord God. And thank you, God, for what you will do, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Say,
you are my strength.
Come on and sing that. Strength like no other.
Strength like no other. Strength like no other.
Said it reaches to me.
Reaches to me.
Come on and sing that out. Say,
you are my strength.
Say, strength like no other. Say, strength like no other.
Yeah.
Said it reaches to me.
Reaches me.
Come on and say, in the fullness of your grace. Come on.
In the fullness of your grace. In the power of your name, you lift me up. You lift me up.
Come on and shout that out. In the fullness of your grace, and in the power of your name. Come on and say, sing this with your hands lifted.
You are my strength.
Strength like no other.
Strength like no other.
Strength like no other.
Strength like no other.
Said it reaches to me.
Reaches
me. One more time. Say you are my strength. Strength like no other, Lord.
Oh.
Said it reaches to me. Come on, we're gonna sing in the fullness of your grace.
In the fullness of your
grace. And in the power. You're so powerful, Lord. Thank you for lifting me up. Hey,
you lift me up.
You are my strength.
Strength.
Jesus, we need you in our thoughts. We need you in our lives. We need you in our marriages. We need you in our families. We need you where we work. We need you, God, while we sleep. In Him we live and move and have our being. God, we need you. We are desperate for you. God, I pray in the name of Jesus for the revival fires to start burning in the hearts of your people. That God will again have a passion for you that is overwhelming. That God will be driven, that will truly say we are desperate for you. God, I pray in Jesus' name that in these last days, as you're raising up the church, that Father, you will not miss us because God, we're right on the front lines waiting for you. Lord, we're not going to be hiding our light under a bushel. God, we're not going to not come with enough oil. God, our hearts and our passion is to fulfill the very design that God has called us for, individually and corporately. And today we've made a decision. Lord, in our hearts, we know we can't do it without you. So we abandon ourselves. We lay ourselves on the altar of Christ as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. And we declare, God, we are yours. Do whatever with us that you desire. I'd like you just to pray right out loud with me. Jesus, here's my life. Whatever you want to do with me, however you want to use me, whatever you want to change in me, I'm all yours. I surrender. Take my life and use my life to change others and to glorify your name in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Isn't that excited? God's going to do great things in your life. He's going to do great things with your life. I don't know how you struggle, but I know this, is that God has made you come through, and not just had you come through. God's got great things for you. So don't you dare look backwards. Can I hear an amen? You're not going backwards. You're going frontwards. God is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. Don't settle for second best. Can I hear an amen or oh my? On your way back to your chair, can you welcome five or six folks that you don't know and say, good morning. You look just marvelous. Thank you.
How's it going?
Well, anyways, please take your seats and get ready for the upcoming announcements.
Then I heard the Lord asking,
Who should I send as a messenger for the people?
Who will go for us?
Here I am. Send me.
I will be the one.
His Tabernacle family, I want to invite you to our Next Step classes. These classes are meant to further your relationship with God. They're held at every campus, and if you need more information on it, visit histabernacle.com or go to the information center out front.
We have an awesome opportunity for you. Every Sunday morning at every campus, we host a class called Growth Track. What this is going to do is it's going to help you discover your purpose and how you fit into this body. We are so excited about this class. It is your next step if you haven't taken it. If you'd like more information, you can visit us right out at the Info Center, or you can visit us on our website at histabernacle.com.
Trusting you, God, you are good. We're
Come on, give another hand clap. Thank God for up for the Roar VBS. If I could have Pastor Aaron come up here with me for just a moment. Pastor Aaron. This is Pastor Aaron's, really, his whole first year here at his Tabernacle Family Church as our children's pastor. Now, I want you to know that I swore we would never have a VBS in the history of my ministry. I had a bad teacher at Bible College. Her name was Sister Hochhausen, and she was just mean, and I hated VBS class. And I said, we'll never have a VBS. So all of my ministry, all the way from 1990, as I've been pastoring, all the way till this year, we've never had a VBS. And he said, Pastor, I'll make it the best. Now, I don't know about you, but this was amazing. Amen. Thank you. And this week they're in Ithaca. So they're doing a VBS, the same VBS in Ithaca. If you'd like to help there, please see Pastor Aaron right after service.
Amen, amen. Awesome. We just want to welcome you. If you're a guest in the house today, we want to welcome our live stream family. We want to encourage you to come be in the house of God. But if you're a guest and this is your first time being in the house with us, do you mind just raising your hand? We have a gift for you. We're excited that you're here with us. Go ahead and wave it high if you're a gift. They'll come bring you, or if you're a gift. Yeah, you are a gift today. Thank you so much for coming. We have a gift for you. Thank you. But we're excited that you're in the house today. Some quick announcements for you. September is like almost here, and I don't know if you're familiar, but Welcome Home Weekend is coming soon. It is going to be so awesome. If you were able to come out last year for it, it's a whole weekend of fun for the family. You know, it helped invite new people, bring in the old people back in the house of God. So I want to encourage you. You don't want to miss that, because we are giving away, there's going to be a drawing that I'm telling you, you want to register for it. I'm going to register for it, so look out. I'm really competitive. It is a package for a family to enter Greek Peak tickets. You can win Greek Peak tickets for your family to go away and stay and have fun. So you need to go register right out front at the Info Center for Welcome Home Weekend to win those tickets. And like I said, I'm putting mine in, so watch out. I am going to win. Pastor always tells us that we can't win if we're on staff, but I'm going to win. Also, we have an exciting weekend next weekend, water baptism. It is always, how many of you love water baptism? It's one of my favorite Sundays because it's so powerful to watch people's lives get touched and changed. So if you have not yet been water baptized and you would like to be, you can sign up online or right out at the Info Center. And we want to encourage you to invite your friends and family. This is a special moment in your life. So we want to encourage you to invite people to come celebrate with you. Amen? And we have Pastor Cody with offering.
I just want you guys to know that at Welcome Home Weekend, it's not only old people that are allowed, but also young people. We welcome all people at church. But hey, have you guys ever noticed that your taxes come out of your paycheck first, normally? Is anybody like that? No. What about when somebody comes up and gives a speech like the Grammys or the Emmys or the ESPYs? Don't they always start off with, I'd like to thank my mom, my dad, everyone who supported me, all of these things. And I really believe there's something powerful about who we honor first. And it's interesting because when we honor first, it does something mighty. It shows that I truly believe and I truly honor these people, this person above everybody else. And I love this about the tithe, because this 10% that's holy, that's separate, that belongs to God, is truly His first. And when we can give Him first what He deserves, then we're setting ourselves up for great success. We know that Abraham gave first. After his victory, what he did is he went and he gave first. Before he spent it, before he enjoyed it, he gave. Why? Not out of law, not because he had to, because he got to honor God with what was first. And I want to be a people that honor God above everybody, above everything else. If the government can take their taxes first, man, I think God gets His first. If people know enough honor in a speech to say that they thank so-and-so and so-and-so, then I want to thank God first with what's one of the most important pieces of our life outside of our salvation, outside of family. What makes our lives function is finances. It's our house, it's our cars. To get to church is money. But I love this, and I want to be a people that honor God first. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 29, it says this. It says, bring an offering and come before Him, the Lord. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. See, when we come to the house, what Chronicles was telling us is, when we come to the house, don't just come with your worship, but also come with our offering to honor Him first. Today, I want to encourage you, be a people, to be a body, to make a personal commitment to the Lord that with everything, I'm going to honor Him first, and that everything includes my finances, because He's the Lord of everything. If He's the Lord of everything, if He's the Lord of my whole life, then no matter what it is, I'm going to honor Him with it. Nothing is off limits to God. I saw something a little bit ago. It said, money in the heart is poison, but money in the hand is powerful. But to bring it to a kingdom level, money in the offering is obedience. And money as a seed is an eternal investment. Now I want to encourage you guys today. Maybe you've never tithed. Maybe you've never given. This isn't some ploy for the church. This is obedience to God. Now I want to encourage you to practice obedience to the Lord today. Because inside of what He has for you is greater than what our 10% can have for us. Amen? Amen. Today, if you have an envelope, if you don't have an envelope, there's one right next to you on your seat. Also, if you're watching online or if you're sitting here, you can give right online at histabernacle.com/giving. Or I believe there's a text message, a number that will come up on the screen. You can give via text message. Why? We want to give people ample opportunities to be obedient to the Lord at whatever is easiest and convenient for you. So today, with your tithe, with your offering prepared, can you go ahead and stand to your feet as we get ready to honor God today? Awesome. And Grace is going to do our supernatural proclamation. So good, Grace.
I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh.
I've had some requests to possibly preach or to do I Got It Someday Soon. I'm not sure if you'd be interested. Can I have something in the monitors, please? So, yeah, how many of you would be interested in me doing I Got It? I haven't done it in a long time. Maybe to do I Got It in the next few weeks. Amen. I'm very excited about this series of messages we're about to go on simply because it's one of my favorite topics in the Bible. Of course, I love the whole Bible. But when I went on the road as an evangelist, this is the series that I preached while I was on the road for all those years. And you know, it became so powerful, so real, because I was able to see, not only hear, I love hearing the word, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing, but I love the fact of seeing the manifestation of what was being preached. And you know, sometimes when you're in a local church, one of the challenges of a local church is that many times you become, as the pastor, kind of... What's the word I want to say? What's that word? Hold on, it's coming to me. Hold on, I got to find it. Familiar. So much so that when I go to another location, I will be able to preach a message that I would preach here, and the altars will be stuffed full. People will be out in the spirit, miracles and signs and wonders. But what happens is, when you come home, everyone's used to you. And this is a series that I used to preach on the road to where literally I've seen literally blind eyes open, people with no ears, I'm talking like no eardrum at all, a plate in his head was able to hear. I've watched people with multiple sclerosis healed. I've seen people with tumors in the brain, tumors in the lungs, tumors in the breast. I've watched all the miracles and signs and wonders. And I want to challenge you during this series that you will go past that Pastor Spencer is here every week preaching the gospel. And I want you to hear the word for as powerful it is as it is. And I want you to draw in the Spirit. You see, you can draw in the Spirit. And I want to challenge you to draw in the Spirit from the gift that God has given while I'm standing here. Because there are specific gifts that are given at specific times. And that is one of them that I always flow strongly in, is that is the working of miracles and the gifts of healing. And in this church, signs and wonders are not abnormal. How many here have ever been healed while you've been at this church? Amen. How many here had God change your life supernaturally while you're at this church? Amen. See, signs and wonders are normal here, and in most churches we don't see a lot of them. But I thank God that we are unwilling to change the word of God, amen? We are going to have the fullness. And in that this morning, we're going to be stepping into a series called Next Level Health. One of the challenges that we have is there are a lot of people in the body of Christ who are sick. And God does not want you sick. Can you turn to someone and say, God does not want you sick? You've heard this said, well, you know, I'm getting old. I guess you just get this as you get older. Who lied to you? Who lied to you? You see, the church has bought into a lie, and it's time to extract it from our thoughts. It's time to extract it from our lifestyle. This is where the church, I remember when I was going on the road as an evangelist, I sent out letters, and the tapes that I sent out for, you know, the pastors to hear how I preach was always one on miracles and healing. And I had one pastor say this to me. He says, I could never have you in my church. I said, well, why? He said, well, because you preach that healing stuff, and most of my people are sick, and you'd mess them all up. Well, that's the goal, to mess them all right. Amen? To get back to what the Bible says. Healthcare is an amazing topic in today's world. It is. Some people want government health. Listen, I don't need you to raise your hand or say amen. Some of you want to keep it in the private sector. But there's one thing that we all agree with, and that is healthcare is way too expensive. Amen? I think I just saw how Denmark is going bankrupt because of their healthcare system. It's amazing to realize how healthcare is such a hot topic, especially in the political realm, especially in the realm of government. And today I've got great news for you. Turn to someone and say, he's got great news for you. If you're born again, shout amen. Amen. I said shout amen. Amen. Come on, let hell know I'm born again. Shout amen. Amen. If you're born again, you have the greatest health plan system that has ever been brought into this world. You are part of the kingdom of God. I didn't say you were part of a religion. I didn't say you were part of a church. I said you were part of a kingdom, which means there has to be government. And in government, one thing you find about a kingdom is a king is always judged by how his people are taken care of. And I want you to hear that our God, shout my God, shout my Father, has taken care of me with health care. In Jesus' name. I want you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22, and it says this, my son or daughter, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Say that with me. Do not let them depart. Which means some have. This is powerful because when you realize how the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that many are asleep, many are dead because they did not discern the Lord's body. The word discernment there, we take it when we take communion, we use this verse. What that word discernment means they don't understand or they haven't laid hold of. The fact is that the church has believed God in part of the covenant but not whole of the covenant. You see, our God is not a dispensational God. He is a covenant God. And when God makes a covenant with mankind, it is yea and amen. The only one that can breach a covenant is man. God cannot lie. So God cannot break his covenant. So you and I, as people of God that are in the kingdom of God, need to recognize the covenant that we are living in right now. It is the covenant that Jesus Christ cut on Calvary's tree. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the mediator of a new and a better gift with better promises. The word better there means that's better than what you had before. What do you mean? Old covenant. What happened in the old covenant? We talked about it a few weeks ago. The Bible says when the children of Israel left Egypt, there was not one feeble among the tribes. Not only did God deliver them, amen, the blood over the doorposts, the blood always represents forgiveness. And then they what? They walked out after they ate the lamb. They walked out not one sick. The body always represents healing. And then Psalms 105 says they took all the wealth of the Egyptians. So not only did they get delivered through the blood, not only did they walk out healthy because of the body of the Lamb, Jesus, the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth, but they also walked out with wealth. We have a covenant that is so powerful. We have a covenant that is so real. And it is time for the body of Christ. I thank God for salvation, but salvation is only a third of the covenant rights of the people of the kingdom of God. We have got to get back to taking a hold of the whole gospel, not just part of the gospel. Nothing irritates me more than when I hear a preacher say, it's not always God's will to heal. How dare you talk about my father that way? Well, God put this sickness on me to teach me some lesson. You're lying. You don't know my father. If you earthly parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly father would give good gifts to you? If you as a parent wouldn't give your kid cancer, then why do you think the God, the one who is established in love, the one who is love, why would he give you cancer? See, the church has bought a lie, and we've got to get back to the word of God. This principle called next level health is everything, because let's be real, we live in a fallen world, and we have sickness come on our body at times, but what you do with it is what you are going to bring as an answer to your life. The Bible continues to say this, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, here it is, and health to all their flesh. The word of God is health to your flesh. The word of God and what you're hearing right now, some of you are going to be healed during this service right now. As I'm preaching the word, the healing anointing is being released in the room. As the healing anointing is being released, those who receive it will receive their healing without anybody even touching them. How is that possible? Because the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit, the bone and the marrow. The bone and the marrow. You see, God wants you healthy. He doesn't want you sick. The word is health to your flesh. Literally, as I'm preaching, your flesh is devouring the word of God. It is life. See, that's the problem with those that are religious. They come to church, they hear a word being preached. Well, that was a nice sermon. Yum, yum. I don't care about nice sermons. If it's not the word of God, then it isn't life. And if it's not life to you, you get what you believe. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So be it as unto your faith. If you're just hearing a message being preached, that's where your faith level is. Well, then you got a nice little sermonette. Baby, you're wasting your time. But you see, today I'm not standing here with the words of man. I'm not standing here with the words of religion. I'm standing here just like Jesus would stand and preach the gospel that he cut for us with his blood and his body. And when he died and rose again, he set and settled it so that you and I can be people that walk by faith and not by sight. You'll notice a progression in this next level year. I got done a few weeks ago, next level faith. Then we brought you into next level change. All to get you here, next level health. Because what happens is this, if you do not have the faith to change, then you cannot change. And if you don't know what to change, then you'll never change because you won't have faith aimed at the direction that you're going in. So all of this is very purposed. We're not standing up here and just preaching a few messages saying, ah, boy, that sounds good today.
This is really designed by God for you to go to your next level in 2019. And why is that possible? Why is that necessary? Because 2019 is 2019, but 2020 has got to be greater than 2019. Let the latter be greater than the former. It's time to recognize you cannot go into 20 with greater success if you're not participating with 19. Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, oh my goodness, I got to hustle already. Do not be conformed to this world. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. That's why it sounds so loud. That is such an old, stupid joke, isn't it? Do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed. Everybody shout, transform me, Jesus. Progressively changed in my spiritual maturity by the renewing of my mind, what is focused on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove yourself what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and his purpose for you. You see, if you don't understand God's plan for you in your health, then you are always going to be vacillating and struggling when sickness tries to come on your life. You see, the truth is that we've all had sickness come in our life at some level. How many of you have ever had a cold? How many of you have ever had diarrhea? Don't raise your hand. How many of you have ever vomited? Amen. Yes, that sounds fun. How many of you have ever had a more serious organ issue? How many had a brain issue? Don't raise your hand. We all have issues that have dealt with our health in some level at some point in time. And because the church, now we teach it here, but the problem is this is what makes me sad. We're probably missing about 300 people this Sunday, at least. And what's sad to me is that they're not going to get this message. So when sickness starts coming in their life and they don't have the knowledge to take them through to victory, they're going to struggle in a manner that they're not going to have the ability for my people perish for lack of knowledge. Man, I'd encourage you next week, invite everybody that you see missing and say, you cannot miss another week of this series. You've got to be here because everyone in this room is going to be struggling at some point in time. You're going to have sickness knock on your door. And if you don't know God's plan for your life, then you're going to accept the sickness. You're going to accept the disease. And you're going to struggle in life in a greater dimension. Why? Because if you accept it, it's yours. God's plan is not healing. God's plan is not healing. God's plan is health. There has to be a shift because there is a difference between healing and health. Healing comes because your health has been attacked. Health is the plan of God. So therefore, we must come and have a mind transition. That's why I read Romans chapter 12. We must have our minds transformed by the renewing of our mind through the word of God, the washing of the word. We've got to have our minds changed. We've got to have our minds shifted. Why? Because we're not called to believe the world system. We're called to believe the word of God. And God's word is yea and amen. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away before it's all come to completion. We've got to say, God, what is your word? I don't want to be like Eve, who literally questioned God's word. That was a very first sin, was the questioning of God's word. God, if your word says it, then it is so. That is it. That's all I need. The challenge is that many of us have never been taught that health is truly God's plan for your life, not sickness. Turn to someone and say, sickness is evil. Tell somebody, disease is evil. That's right. You need to hear that. You've got to hate sickness. You've got to hate disease just as much as you hate sin. Why? Because it's in the same package of redemption. You cannot be satisfied or just say, well, I guess that's just what my lot is. You see, because we serve a king that is all powerful, because we serve a king. Now, if you're serving a religion, you've got no hope. But when you're serving the true King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who recognize that he is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, that what he says is so, you can put your faith in it, walk by faith and not by sight. Call those things which are not as though they already are. You can live and see God's plan come to fruition in your life. So health is God's plan. Health where no sickness is in your body. No disease is in your body. Come on, you've heard me pray. No sickness, no disease, no maiming, no wounding, no growths, and no spirits of infirmity. Can I hear an amen? None of those things belong in your body. Why? Because your body's not yours. I love one of the great revelations my wife had when she was battling cancer, when sickness came on her body. She sat in that chair right there, and she said, oh, where is she? No, you're not my wife. Amen. Where is my wife? My wife is preaching in Georgia right now and no more hurt. Amen. She's preaching like 5 times this weekend. God bless that woman. So here we are. She sat there in that chair, and she started praying about the sickness that was on her body. And this was the revelation. You have no right in my body. My body's not mine. You're trespassing on God's property. You're trespassing. When sickness is in our life, it is trespassing on God's property. How many of you are God's property? Come on, you've been bought with a price. You are not your own. You see, there is a change and a shift in our mindset and our mentality that we've got to lay hold of. It's not that sickness isn't going to come and knock on your door, but what you do with it when it comes there is the challenge. Now, here, listen, now I got to say this out loud because so many people struggle with this. Some people think that there is a problem or a collision between medical science and the supernatural healing of God. And I want you to know there is no collision. Whatever thwarts sickness is good. Can I hear an amen? I believe in doctors. We have doctors that come to this church. I thank God for their lives. You cannot watch some of the surgical procedures and not believe that God uses doctors to bring healing and restoration. Can I hear an amen? But God's plan is not healing or even a doctor's scalpel or the medication they write that usually has more problems than good. That's always my favorite commercial. If you have this skin problem, you know, take these things and you'll be fine. You might die. Yeah, you're probably going to have cardiac arrest. You're going to have strokes. But you won't have any skin problems. We've got to get back to the divine healthcare plan of God. But that means you've got to have faith. Because you can't receive anything but by faith. So if you don't believe, there's no way that you're going to receive. If you don't believe that it's God's plan for you to be healthy, I'm talking living to the last day of your life. Oh, but pastor, we've all got to die. That's right. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment, unless the rapture happens. But let's talk about this. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment does not mean you have to die sick. Your heart can stop. Your breath can cease. You don't have to die. God doesn't need to kill you with a cancer. God doesn't need to kill you with a disease. God doesn't need to kill you. In fact, the Bible says the devil's come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus Christ came that you might have life and life more abundant. Can I hear an amen? God's not out to kill you. God, listen, when your time is done, man, if you're not, come on now. We don't know. The end times are coming. We don't know. You might be martyred. You might be killed for Christ, but you don't have to die sick. That wasn't a lot of amens on that one. You don't have to die sick. You don't have to die with a disease. Come on now, if you don't believe, you can't receive. One of our doctors came up to us one time and he said, Pastor, you're preaching divine healing and you believe that. So what is my, I believe this is what God's called me to. So why am I here? I said, well, you're here because number one, how many people are not born again? You're their only hope. And then those believers who've not been taught, you're their only hope. And then those believers who refuse to feed their faith, you're their only hope.
You've got to recognize that thank God for doctors, but the truth is that we have a great physician, and the body of Christ has gone away from the wholeness of the covenant of God, and we've bought a lie that says God put sickness on our body, that we bought the lie that not everybody is healed. Oh, I'll be healed when I get to heaven. I want you to realize God don't need you in heaven. God needs you here. God don't need you dead while he needs another angel in heaven. That's a lie. God don't need an angel. By the way, you don't become an angel. You're higher than the angels. God needs you here because he needs your light. He needs you to be able to share the gospel with people. It's the power of God unto salvation to transform people's lives. Man, we've got to come to this grasping in our spirit realm that God's plan is your health, that God wants you healthy. God doesn't want you sick. God does not want disease on your body. God does not want you maimed. God does not want you wounded. God does not want things growing in your body that don't belong. And God surely doesn't want a demon spirit attached to you causing a sickness in your body. Well, Pastor, that's really good preaching. But where's the proof? I'll give you proof. Are you ready? How many of you know that God has showed us multiple times in the scripture, at least three, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let all things be established, that it is never God's will to be sick? Number one, how about the Garden of Eden? How many of you know that in the Garden of Eden, there was no sin? Amen. There was no sin. When sin came in is when sickness came in. You'll recognize that there was no sin in the garden, there was no sickness in the garden, and there was no poverty in the garden. They never lacked. They had access to everything that God had. They were never sick. Why? Because Jehovah Rapha was in their presence. I am the God that healeth thee. He walked with them in the cool of the day. Healing was always there. Why? Well, because God is the healer. And then they were wealthy. They had no lacking of anything. Well, that's nice, Pastor, but that's the garden. Well, where's the next time we see it? We see it in heaven. In heaven, we see there is no sin in heaven. Can I hear an amen? Amen. There is no sickness in heaven. Can I hear an amen? In fact, what's amazing is the tree of life that was seen in the Garden of Eden. The next time you see it in the scripture is in heaven. It's for the healing of the nations. And there is no poverty in heaven. But there's something that was so powerful that God showed us so very clearly with Jesus Christ coming to the planet. He said, I'm sending my only begotten Son. I'm sending the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the earth. Jesus came down here and lived as a man. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 2 that he gave up all of his heavenly glory to come down here and live as a man. He gave up all of his heavenly power, yet he desired to fulfill the will of God. He said, man, the will, my meat, is to do the will of my Father. He said in the garden, God, not my will, but yours be done. Man, when he was caught at 12 years old in the temple, what did he say to his parents? He said, don't you know I've got to be about my Father's business? What was his Father's business? Was bringing redemption back to us. Man, I don't know about you, but that right there should make you excited, because what Jesus Christ paid for on the cross is what Adam and Eve lost in the garden. You see, Jesus was sinless. Can I hear an amen? Jesus was never sick. Can I hear an amen? And Jesus was not poor. Can I hear an amen? Oh, Pastor, he was poor. Well, he was definitely poor in relativity, for he gave up all of his heavenly glory, walking on streets of gold. He gave up all the opulence of heaven to come down here and live as a man. But Jesus had the nicest clothes. Can I hear an amen? That's why they didn't divide them. That's why they auctioned them off. Why did they do that? Because he was wearing the most expensive clothing you could wear at that point in time. Why was he riding a donkey in? Because only kings rode on the donkeys. Can I hear an amen? Who took care of all his disciples while he was doing ministry? They called them out of their businesses. Who took care of their families? For a man that does not take care of his family is worse than an infidel. So Jesus could now allow his men to be infidels, so someone had to pay for the families to live. Or we could go through the line. Oh, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. That's because they were in Samaria, not because they didn't have money in the purse. Oh, by the way, they had a purse. What's in the purse? Well, they had a treasurer. Why do you need a treasurer when you're poor? Jesus Christ came to buy back what Adam and Eve lost. We know this according to the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Jesus showed us that what heaven provided is still available on earth. That's hard for people to bite. Because we've been taught otherwise.
Well, you know, I'm just a lowly Christian hoping to make it by. Glory to God. Lord, come. Please blow the trumpet. It's so hard down here.
Who said it was hard? Jesus said, my burden's light. See how the church has bought lies all over the place? And every time we buy a lie, what it ends up doing, it postures us in a position where we surrender a part of the redemptive process that Christ had paid for on Calvary's tree. Jesus didn't pay for it so that we could throw it away. Jesus paid for it so we could live it here on earth. That's why he came and lived down here. That's why he came and walked down here. Not just so that he could be crucified and as a sinless gift offering for the sin that you and I have, but so that you and I could watch him. You and I could see him. That's why it's written in a book. It could be just a talked about thought. But no, the Bible has been written. Man, 66 books. I want you to realize today, it is the word of God. It is quick and powerful. It will change your life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. For Jesus is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. This is not a religion. This is a government. And this government has good health care. So we've got to make a decision. Whether you like it or not, it's still law. Oh, let's get down to that now. Every king has a kingdom. Every kingdom is governed by a constitution. Every constitution develops laws. You and I are part of the kingdom of God. This is not your home, by the way. You are a sojourner here. Which means you're not governed by the laws of this place because of the redeeming. Christ became a curse for us. What was the curse is what Adam and Eve brought on us. That was sin, sickness, and poverty. Christ paid the price so that you and I don't have to suffer with sin, sickness, and poverty.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I think you need to know. That's why I'm preaching it. Because we've settled so much. We've settled to a position where we literally resign the very price that Christ paid on Calvary's tree. We've agreed with the laws of this land, which is the spirit of death. Instead of agreeing with the word of God, the spirit of Christ and life. We're either good religious folks or we're true kingdom people. And being true kingdom people, we believe God before we believe man. We walk by faith and not by sight. We're not governed by what we see. We're not governed by our senses. We're governed by faith. That's why if you weren't here for that whole series on faith, you need to go back, histabernacle.com, go to watch, go to archives. You need to watch that whole series on faith. Why? Because if not, then your sickness that comes on you will be yours because you'll say, well, I guess this is just mine. My mama had it. My daddy had it. I guess it's mine. I'm here to tell you, you've got a new dad. His name is Abba Father, and he paid the price. You've got an elder brother who had no sin or sickness. He is the master. He is the king, and he paid the price so you don't have to be sick. God's plan for your life is that you will be sinless.
Well, Pastor, let's just be realistic.
I am. Do you realize you don't have to sin one more time in your life? How many of you are born again? If you're born again, you don't need to sin one more time in your life. Well, is that even possible? Absolutely. If it was possible for Jesus, it's possible with you. For that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, he dwells within you. How many of you ever felt conviction before? How many felt conviction before you did it? Ding, ding, ding. You don't have to sin another day. Whoa.
Well, you know, Pastor, it happened.
No, it didn't. If you're born again, it didn't just happen. You overrode the conviction of the Holy Spirit to make it happen. Now, if you're not born again, then the fact is that your very nature is sin. It is normal for you. I don't get shocked when I hear the F-bomb. I don't get shocked when I hear people lying, cheating, and stealing that aren't born again. It's normal for them. How is it normal? Because that's their nature. You see, their nature is that of their father. Found in the book of Galatians, Ephesians chapter 2. The nature of their father, the devil, is that he's a liar, a cheater, and a thief. I'm not shocked when sinners live that lifestyle. But we should be shocked when saints live that lifestyle. That wasn't a big amen. I said we should be shocked when saints live that lifestyle. I said we should be shocked when saints live that lifestyle. I said we should be shocked when saints live that lifestyle. Amen. Because you've been delivered from the power of sin. Well, I just can't help it. That's a lie. Who lied to you? Your sin in, the devil didn't make you do it. You made choices to do it. You made the choice to override the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You chose sin, satisfaction of the flesh, over that of the presence of God. And you've got to make decisions in your life. Everything we do is about decisions. Everyone in this room made decisions this morning. How many of you got up? How many of you didn't? Pastor Aaron did not. How many of you drank a cup of coffee and not Dunkin' Donuts? Thank you, Jesus. How many of you drank Folgers? Lord, my mother drinks Folgers. I don't understand that. How many of you put on your undergarments? Don't raise your hands. How many put on outer clothing? You can raise your hand, because you wouldn't be here if you didn't. How many of you brushed your teeth? Everybody better raise your hands. How many climbed into a vehicle? You made decisions this morning, convictions in your heart that you felt were important enough to act upon them. You see, that's what faith does. Faith acts upon what it believes. So what happens is when we do not believe that the word of God is truth, that it is always God's plan to heal you, that it is always God's plan even higher to keep you in health, then what will happen is you will not believe that, therefore you will not walk that, therefore you will not live that, and when sickness comes in your life, you will receive that more than the word of God. And here's a problem. You know what? Honestly, if you die of sickness and disease and you're born again, you're going to heaven. You can't lose. But everybody around you does. Everybody around you loses. Because God put you here with gifts and talents to be a blessing to other people, not just for yourself. There are people who die early. They die before their time. Well, the Lord took them. Baloney, the Lord took them. I don't know why we buy such foolishness. We've got to make a decision that God's word's above our philosophical ideas. We've got to believe that God's word is even above our experiences. Some of you have based your entire faith walk on experiences you've had through religious. And I want you to hear me. I don't care what religion has showed you. I don't care what your experiences are. I care what the word of God declares. Because the word of God is yea and amen. If it's not, then you can't have faith. And if you can't have faith, then all you can have is doubt. And if only you can have doubt, then you can only believe what you can see, touch, feel, smell, your senses. That's why some of you struggle so desperately in your walk with Jesus.
You're so desperate in your walk with the Lord because you're on that roller coaster ride. You hate walking with God. Man, you've started walking with God, and God truly changed your life. It was a true God transformation. But then what happened was you never learned or transitioned having your mind renewed into faith. So therefore, now you're literally being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. What's doctrine? Doctrine is a belief. You have no steadiness in your life, and that is the plan of God for you to be steady. You don't believe that? Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It means consistency. Nothing good, nothing bad is going to change you. Oh, man, I'm in such big trouble. All right, here we go. I'm just going to do as far as I can. Is that fair? I want you to get this more than I want to preach. Some preachers like preaching so much that they forget that if people don't get it, then you didn't do anything good. I don't want you just to hear it. I want you to get it. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to, like, bring the light bulb on so that you can start living in health. Amen? Health is nice. How many of you know what healthy is? Feels good. Doesn't healthy feel good? How many of you know that sickness is a prison? Even the common cold, snot running down your face. Man. That's prison. Your nose gets red. Your nose gets sore. Even the common cold is the opposite of the kingdom of God. For he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Even the common cold is against the word of God.
Well, you know, there is no cure.
You're right. They don't have a cure in the sense world, but God has a cure, and that cure is the Holy Ghost. That cure is the power of heaven. That cure is the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will drive out sickness and drive out disease. You see, Jesus paid that price so that you and I could be sinless. Romans chapter 6, verse 22. You are no longer a slave to sin. He paid the price for you to be healthy. 1 Peter 2, 24. You were healed. That is past tense. That was over 2,000 years ago. You already were healed. There's a story I tell. I believe it came from Dr. Hagen. And it was this. There was a woman. She was very elderly. And she lived with her daughter. And they lived on a farm. And every morning at 4 a.m., the daughter and the mother would get up and make breakfast for the men. They'd come out by 5, and they'd go out, and they'd start working the cows. And then they'd come in around 7 or 7:30, and everything would be set. And then they would take a break. And mom and grandma would go into the sewing room at around 9 or 9:30 in the morning. Every morning, except for Sunday. Every morning they'd go in there and they'd fix the clothes. They'd darn the clothes. And you know you're older when you hear darning. They'd sew the clothes. No, they didn't throw them away. They darned them. And one day, mom got up in the morning and she said, "Well, I'm going home today." And the daughter's first thought was, "Whoops, she's starting to slip." And she said, "No, I'm going home today. I'm going to go home between 9 and 9:30. They made breakfast together. Everything's fine. The men came in. The men came out. They went into the sewing room. And there she looked at her daughter. She says, "I love you. Goodbye." Thoosh. And dropped dead. She understood the principles. It was not just a good thought process. She understood the covenant that Christ paid. That health is your plan. That God wants you healthy. And when you get unhealthy, thank God for healing. But the greatest plan is not healing. The greatest plan is health. And God wants you to be healthy in your bones. God wants you to be healthy in your blood. God wants you to be healthy in your sinew. God wants you to be healthy all the way to your marrow, to every single microcosmic portion of your body. Boy, that sounded really good there for a second. He wants you to be healthy in every area of your life. Oh, I know I'm wearing you out. Here we go.
The church has bought the lie that we are just surviving here and waiting for God to get us out. We've got to start repelling the religious, defeated, pathetic mindset that the church has been living in. Why? Because the world is looking at us and saying, why would I want your God? We've got everything you got. Listen, you're not here to suck air. You're here because God's got a divine purpose for your life. Thank God for your job. Amen. But your job could end tomorrow. Anybody ever had that happen before? Didn't even know it was going to happen. Boom, job gone. Man, you put your faith so much in things. Man, you go to the doctor and, you know, they do their best. Thank God for doctors, but they're still practicing. They do their best with you. And then they say, you know what? There's nothing more we can do. You have to make a choice. Whose report will I believe? Every moment, we're caught between two worlds. This is the collision I was talking about way back when I started talking about faith. The collision is, do we believe more in our senses or do we believe more in the Word of God? Do we believe in what Christ paid for or what the world has to offer? And every one of us are in this. Now listen now, I'm not out of this either. When sickness starts to come on my body, I have to make a decision. My wife rebuked me the other day. She said, I want you to realize that I'm believing God like Moses. And I said, what do you mean? She said he was 124 years old and he had no dimness in his eyes. I'm not dim, I just see more than one of you. It's called prosperity. Hallelujah. The congregation just doubled. Glory to God. We have to make a decision. That's why you got to be transformed. That's why being in church is not about religion. Being in church is about growing. For my people perish for lack of knowledge. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. I don't care how many times I've heard this. I don't care how many times I've preached this. Listen now, your faith is theory until tested. And man, I want to tell you that when my wife was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer, that was the real test for our faith. We had to make a decision. Do I really believe this or not? Is this really just a gospel that I preached across the world? Or is this something that I can take home and I got to live it on Wine Coop Creek Road? Do I believe that God wants me healthy or do I believe that God wants me sick? I had to make a decision. My wife had to make a decision. You have to make a decision. Well, Pastor, I am sick. Well, I'm going to teach you how to get unsick. How's that sound? That's what this series is about. Listen now, I don't care if you've got back problems. I don't care if you got ear problems. I don't care if you got nose problems. I don't know what that would be, but I don't care if you got nose problems. I don't care if you got toes problems. One thing I know, that God can heal you. Can I hear an amen? God can make you healthy in every fabric and portion of your body. That is God's plan for your life. God's plan is that you'll live healthy, not wounded. It's God's plan that you'll live healthy, not sick, diseased, maimed, wounded, or growth, or any demon being on you causing you a sickness in your body. And then when we're done this series, we're going to go into next level mental health. We're going to cover 3 weeks of how to become sane. Turn to someone next to you and tap them on the shoulder and say, there is hope. Hallelujah. If you're watching by live stream, you don't want to miss next week. Here's the problem. When I'm on the road as an evangelist, I could preach up to 2 hours on this topic. I can't do that here. I tried to make this as short as I could, and I can't. Because my problem as your pastor is this. I'm not interested in giving you a sermon. I'm interested in preparing you for life. I want to make sure you know what to do. When all of a sudden you're feeling things in your body you're not sure of. All of a sudden you get a diagnosis that is not positive. I don't even care if it's a hangnail. If you've had one, you know they hurt. God's against hangnails.
Amen. God is against zits in your nose. Come on now, everyone's had one. You know what I'm talking about. They hurt. He took on the cross all of our sickness and our pains. We always make it deep. It's got to be some deep disease. It doesn't have to be a disease that's deep. He wants you healthy every day. And that's God's plan for your life. Next week, we're going to talk about where sickness comes from. And we're going to start talking about how to get rid of it. And man, when you realize the power of it, man, I want you to know you're going to get healed in your seats. God's going to set you free right where you are. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to do something we haven't done in many, many years. We're going to have a Friday night church service where we're going to lay hands on everybody who's sick and diseased. You can bring your friends. We're going to preach a power. I'll probably preach a long night. But I'm going to preach that night. We're going to lay hands on everybody who's sick and diseased, maimed, wounded, and growth and or spirit of infirmity. We're going to see he whom set you free, free indeed. Amen. I believe in miracles. I don't just talk about them. I believe in them. I've seen them. They've seen too much to doubt. And I want you to know that God, when it's your time to go, you'll just go. Father, we thank you for what you paid for. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave, he gave, he gave, he gave, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God, not just saved from sin, not just saved, oh God, from poverty, but saved from our sicknesses and diseases. Jesus, you showed us. Lord, I speak health over this body in the name of Jesus. I decree in Jesus' name that those who are sick here today, those who are struggling with arthritis, you foul spirit of infirmity, I command you to loose them. Go. Jesus' name. Father, I speak to those in that are having organ problems. I command the organs right now. I command you in the name of Jesus to come alive and become normal. I speak to cell level, marrow level. I speak to brain matter. I speak right now to ears and eyes and hair. Oh, God, even grow hair. Jesus, there's nothing you can't do if we put our faith in you. Today, God, I thank you that we are sons and daughters, part of the kingdom. And we give you honor for it in Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your first stop is salvation. That means I'm not talking religion. I'm not talking joining a church. I'm talking you need to ask Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior. I'm saying you need to say, God, I confess that I am a sinner. I confess that I need a Savior to wash my sins away. For the wages of sin is death. We don't like to call ourselves sinners anymore, but if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're damned. Why? Because someone's got to pay for that sin. Someone's got to pay for it. Jesus paid for it for you. But if you don't want Christ, you got to pay for it yourself. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you want him in your life, you know you're not living right, you know if you die today, you're not going to go to heaven. You want to make sure, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Thank you, young lady. I see your hand right there. Anybody else this morning? Not going to wait long. 5, 4 in the back. Did you raise your hand, honey? Yes? Very good. Thank you. Amen. Anybody else? Not going to wait long. 5, 4, 3. Come on, get your hand up. 2. Last call. Thank you, sir. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Mindy, if you'll come to the front. We want to pray with you if you raise your hand for salvation. If you are sick this morning, I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar right now. Prayer team, come right quickly. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Pastors, where are you? You are sick in your body. We're going to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's what the Bible says. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Whether it's a healing or a miracle, we'll even talk about that. What's the difference between a healing and a miracle? She's already up here. Girl, I'm so proud of you. If you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to step right out of your chair. Meet me right up front. Can everybody turn to the person next to them and say, listen, I'll go with you if you want. If you raise your hand for salvation, come right out of your chair. Come on. Come on, be brave, be brave, be brave, be brave. You got it. Come on.
Bible says, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father. If you can't do it here, you're going to have trouble out in the world with your friends. Amen. Proud of you. Congratulations, gentlemen. Congratulations. Proud of you. That'll be the same again. Seriously, man. Will that be the same again? Right here, guys, we're going to have you pray with Mindy. Okay? Can you give me another hand clap? Heaven is shouting. Don't let heaven outshout you this morning. Father, I decree healing in this house. I declare that God will be the healing center of this region in the name of Jesus. I declare, God, that people with cancers, people with diseases will come to this place and know they'll be healed when they walk into the building because of the power of God and the faith of the sons and daughters. I declare in Jesus' name that we'll be known as the healthiest congregation in this entire region for the glory of God. And Lord, I speak blessing over this house. Let us all lead one soul to you this week for the glory of heaven. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted, I love you. Serve God with all of your hearts.
You are my strength like no other. Strength like no other. Reaches to me. Strength like no other.